the last few weeks has been a little difficult for him. I'm thankful that he didn't have to spend a lot of time being down, not able to go. I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, he was still preaching. And that affects people in our church. Probably by church time tonight, we'll have a little bit more information maybe, and we'll pass that word along. But when somebody's lived for God all those years and preached the gospel for over 60 years, I just have to believe that in heaven it's a homecoming. And really, when it comes down to it, that's what we're all striving for anyway, isn't it? So we really appreciate the Hyatt family, the Page family, and we're going to hold them up in prayer. Hope the Lord will help us here today. I want to get right into the Word of God here this morning. And I sure would like to be an encouragement to you. There's things that our church here needs to be mindful of. We're glad for all of our visitors that are here, but we just closed revival recently, and I think it's incumbent upon us to do all that we can to maintain the ground that we gained in revival. Can you say amen? And those seeds that were sown, like Brother Greg was speaking about in the Sunday school class this morning, there's a lot of things that will try to take those things away and consume them. So we must be working and planting in that fallow ground. Praise God. Leviticus chapter number 6. If you would like to read with us this morning, if you want to stand to your feet and read this passage with us, a few more verses than we normally would read on a Sunday morning, but it's just a little bit difficult here where to kind of where to step in and break out. So we're just going to read these passages here, and maybe we'll all get a little clearer understanding of the setting. Leviticus chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading at verse number 8. If you haven't, say praise the Lord. All right, let's read it together. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offerings on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let's read verse 13 again for emphasis. The fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Praise God. The fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Fire has been something that mankind has had need of ever since the creation and the beginning of our existence. And even in God giving the commandments to Moses and laying down the civil laws in which man would abide by and we could live together collectively, he institutes fire into the offerings. It's for the burnt offerings of the sacrifices. And I'm not going to take time to delve into that. And there's a lot of study and a lot of things that can be taken from the Old Testament into the New. But I just mainly for my message today need to draw from
that last part of verse 13, it shall never go out. It was the responsibility of the priest to keep the fire burning. That fire, and we'll read it in another verse a little bit later, was a divine fire. It came from the Lord, and it was begun by Him, and it was given. A man was given the responsibility to make sure that whatever fuel was needed for that fire to continue, man was responsible for that. And I want to say to our families, husbands, you are the priest of your home. Can somebody say amen? You know, I like to find ways to bring these truths down. You know, we think, well, we don't do that anymore, and that was so long ago, and that was way back in the Old Testament, and that's been about six, seven thousand years ago, and you know, it's been a long, long time ago. But if you'll read and study the book of Hebrews, the New Testament, the priests still have a function in the New Testament. And so there are obligations that we can read about in the Old Testament that can carry over to our lives that we live under grace. Moms and dads, you are to keep the fire burning in your home. There are certain things you have to do to especially when it comes to spiritual matters, to keep that fire that God has started in your life, to keep it burning like it needs to. Amen. Praise God. And if husband won't do it, then the wife has to do it. If moms and dads won't do it, then children have to do it. If teachers don't do it, then children have to do it. Somebody has to be responsible to keep the fire burning. Amen. Praise God. So I want to use today for a title, The Keeper of the Flame. A keeper of the flame. All of us, no matter what your lot is in life, you have a responsibility to be a keeper of the thing. Two things the priest had to do besides the offering of the burnt offering, and two responsibilities were that he was to provide wood for the fire. Amen. How many know that a fire has to have fuel? And if there's no fuel, if there's nothing added to it, the fire will go out. Amen. Fire always has a tendency to go out. It takes something to keep it burning and to keep it going. And so we're entrusted with these things to realize there's a need for it. And especially when it comes to spiritual matters, somebody must keep the fire of God burning in your life. Amen. And so the priest had to take out the ashes. And I want to tell you something. The ashes, if they're not taken out in a fireplace or someplace where a fire is burning, the ashes themselves will put out the fire. Amen. So the obligation, one of the duties of the priest, was to not only keep fuel and bring wood for the fire, but he also was to keep the fireplace clean. Amen. Ashes are yesterday's fire. Ashes are fire from the past. And I realize that all of us stand on the shoulders of great men. And all of us have things in our past that are precious. But revivals of the past are just that. They are in the past. We just come out of a great revival. We had a wonderful move of God. But unless you take it to heart to keep those things alive and burning in your life, that all of those things that God done for you will have a tendency to go out. The revival we just closed was a good revival. It was as good a revival as I've ever been in, but it is in the past. Amen. Nobody else can ever get saved in that revival that we just closed. It is in the past. Amen. And I noticed in reading different times, there was a sacredness. There was an honoring, if you will, the sacrifice of those animals that were sacrificed for sin. And I wished I had time, and I don't have time to go into all the sacrificial offerings, but before Christ, in looking toward the cross, those that live before Christ in the Old Testament, their sins were imputed and they were remembered, and they had to be atoned not by a person, by the blood of animals. Thousands and thousands into the millions of animals were sacrificed in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ died on the cross. Amen. And so that the ashes of those animals that had been sacrificed and their lives had been sacrificed, they were reverenced and they were honored in that the priest would take the ashes of those sacrificial animals and would take them to a clean place. Amen. And put them in that clean place. And I know that there are people that constantly desire for some reason to live their life in the past. But you cannot live your life in the past. Amen. It's impossible to live your life in the past. So what we should do is take those things that Christ has done in our life and for us, and with honor and reverence, we should pick those ashes up and take them to a clean place. Amen. It's not that we're just kicking them out and saying it doesn't matter what happened in the past. Amen. But in reverence to what God has done in our life and in our past, we take the ashes of our past and we put them in a clean place. Amen. But before we get back to where the fire is, we must pick up more fuel and bring back to the fire. Hallelujah. Oh, if I could help somebody here this morning, amen, I want to tell you here today, there's some of you will never have a fire and you will never have a passion in your life like it needs to be and like it should be and like it could be as long as you are spending your life in the ashes of the past. Amen. Oh, I wish I could preach in here this morning. Amen. I'm thankful for what God has done for me in the past, and I don't want to be irreverent to what Christ has done in my life in the past. That's the reason I take those precious memories and I put them in a clean place and a safe place. But I cannot live my life in the past. I cannot preach in the past. You cannot go back to the past. There may be some that have been injured in the past. There may be some here, I'm preaching to you here today, that there are things in your past that you need to scoop up out of your life and take away and put away, and you will never be able to be in life what you should be and what you could be for God or for anybody else around you until you decide, I am no longer going to live my life in the past, but I'm going to get wood and fuel, amen, and build a fire for the future and move on. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's dangerous to let our children and the next generation coming up after us think that what we have for them is not as good as the past. It is not correct for us to spend all of our time talking about the so-called good old days and leave the idea with the generation coming on. You will never achieve what those in the past did. You may do good, but you'll never be what they were. That is a disservice to the generation that we are raising up. I believe that God is going to raise up people that's going to do greater things, amen, in the future than what we've seen in the past. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I know there's a little illustration, and it might be a little bit funny if it wasn't so pathetic. And if I call names, some of you would know it. And I was told by good source that this actually happened. A pastor that had pastored a church for a number of years, and he was a good man and a good reputation and had a wonderful ministry. Amen. There may even be some, maybe not anybody here that's been saved under his ministry, but there's no doubt he was a great man. But when he passed, deceased and was no longer, he was deceased and not able, man, to pastor that church. Instead of them getting another pastor, they found a life size, they got a picture of him and blew it up to a life size, a cardboard poster of some kind, and cut out the form of that man and propped him up in the pulpit and played tapes of his sermons behind him. Man, let me tell you something, folks. There may be some good things that someone could glean from those tapes and CDs and things in the past. But revivals of the past are not going to save our children. Revivals of the past are not going to save America. Amen. But I've got good news for you this morning. We can build a fire in our life, and we can build a fire in our schools, and we can build a fire in our government, and we can build a fire in our churches, amen, that will change the trajectory of the generation coming on. I believe that with all my heart here today. Amen. There's another thing I want to tell you here today. I believe the church has a valuable part. Matter of fact, I believe it is the most important part of all the things that I've mentioned. Amen. The great politician that came here in the 1700s from France. His name slips my mind right now. But you see the quote a lot of times. He said, America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Amen. Is there anybody in here going to help the preacher preach this morning? Amen. And he came to America, and he went up and down the roads, and he went into the big cities trying to discover what the secret of America's greatness was. And he come to this conclusion. He said, it's the churches in America. He said, their pulpits are on fire, and the glory of God is in their services. And that is the reason America is great. Amen. Are you hearing me preach this morning? America has been great because America has been good. But America has been one that has turned to God in times of trouble. Amen. And trusted in Him. And I want to give you good news this morning. Every young person and every old person that will surrender their life to Christ and let Him build a fire on their altar will do great things in this country. Can you say amen? Praise God. The fire, the importance of the fire. When I think about great preachers like George Whitfield, John and Charles Wesley, Charles Finney, Dwight Moody, heroes of the faith, great men, and I could bring it on down, even like someone just mentioned, Brother Carl Page, Brother Bob Holden, and a lot of great men, Brother Ben Shaw, our former pastor, my dad that pastored here for so many years, amen, great men, heroes of the faith, but I'm telling you young people, we must, amen, I wish I had a praying church right now, amen, somebody that helped the preacher preach this morning, it's time for us, every one of us, it doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the gender. But as I preached to you last Sunday, you have a throne. You also have an altar. Amen. And upon that altar should be the fire of God moving and burning in your life. Amen. Oh, what would it be if great men like George Whitfield, amen, that preached to Benjamin Franklin and other great men that were very influential in this nation, I wonder what they would see and what they would think if they come back today. Would they see the pulpits on a flame of fire in the churches? Amen. Would the man from France come and say the churches in America are on fire? Amen. I am giving you the challenge here this morning. Amen. Bethany Church, I need you to rally with me a little bit here this morning. Amen. We are the keepers of the flame. We are the ones that must retain it. We are the ones that have to hold it. And unless we do it, the fire in our churches and the fire in our homes and the fire in our schools and the fire in our youth camps, amen, the fire will go out. We must ever keep it burning. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 24, one verse, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. And I believe that is the origin of the fire. The best I can tell, it continued right on through the time of Solomon, renewed again and continued to burn till the Babylonian captivity. And if I've got it figured right, that flame of fire burned for approximately 900 years.
Oh, I wish somebody would shout hallelujah in this place.
Praise God. That would have been totally impossible had not somebody seen the urgency and the need to be a keeper of the flame. Amen. A keeper of the flame. Numbers chapter 16.
Church, would you stand to your feet right now? Lift your hands, ask God to move here today.
Oh, holy, holy, holy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Give Him praise, church. Worship Him just a moment. Praise God. God is so great. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. We are to be a keeper of the flame. Amen. Listen to what happens in Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 46. Man, there's so much history here. I can't preach it all. I know I'm relying a lot on your knowledge. God, help me here in Jesus' name. Verse number 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there's wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. I wish I could preach right now. Amen. Somebody says, what's the plague? Is it AIDS? Amen. Is it cancer? Is it diabetes? Amen. I want to tell you what it is. I can tell you exactly what it is. The plague is sin. Amen. Come on, church, help me preach. The plague is sin. And the only remedy for sin is to have the fire of God that's burning on our altar. Amen. And we are given the challenge and the responsibility of the priest of our home, of the priest of our school, of the priest of our church, to be ever keeping that fire with fuel. Amen. It takes wood. It takes coal. Amen. It takes oil. There's a number of things that will fuel a fire. Amen. But let me tell you something. If you're going to keep the fire of God burning in your life, you must fuel it with prayer. You must fuel it with the reading of the Word. Amen. If you don't, the fire has a tendency to go out. Help me preach, Lord. Amen. And I want to tell you another thing. If you have never had a crisis in your life where you had to have fire, let me tell you something. There will be a time in your life where you will face a crisis. That's where the children of Israel find themselves right now. Amen. The plague has come on them. They are kept out in the wilderness. They are a moving band, a nation that's on the move. And now they're in trouble. Something has plagued the camp. And people are dying by the thousands. Amen. You know what the remedy was? Amen. Church, I need you to get in here and help me preach. You know what the remedy was? The remedy was the fire. The holy fire of God. Amen. That was on the altar. That was the only thing that was going to stop the plague. That was the only thing that was going to stop the dying, was for somebody to go in the sanctuary. Amen. I wish somebody would hear me preach. Amen. We got to understand, it's not always popular. It's not always the going way. It's not always the most popular way. But when people get in trouble and they have a need, you know where they go? They find somebody that knows how to pray. They find somebody that has a fire. built on the altar of their life, and they say, pray for me, stand with me, help me get a hold of God. I've got a crisis in my life, and nothing is going to remedy that crisis except the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's where they are. They're in crisis. If you've never been in crisis, you will be in a crisis sometime. Amen. And while we're doing things here and there and somewhere else, it's so easy, please hear me preach this morning, it's so easy to neglect, amen, the devotion and the fire, the thing that keeps the fuel of the fire burning in Christ, amen, the burning fire of Christ in our heart, while we're busy here and there, while we're doing other things, while we're fulfilling other responsibilities, we fail to read God's word, and we fail to go to church like we need to, and we fail to do good for our neighbor, amen, and while we're doing those things, remember what I've already told you earlier. The fire has a tendency to go out. And unless you tend it, and unless you remove things in your past and build and fuel a new fire, when you get in crisis, you will have no fire in your life. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me to preach. That's what happens. They're in crisis. They don't know what they're going to do. Somebody says, Moses says to Aaron, go into the sanctuary, take a censer and get fire from the altar and run out among the people. Do I have a holiness church here this morning? Are y'all afraid to say amen in the place this morning? Come on. I'm giving it my best. I'm up here preaching, doing all I can. I need y'all to get in here and help me preach a little bit this morning. Amen. Praise God. How many has a fire on their altar? You're not afraid to lift your hands. You're not afraid to let the world know there's something burning. Amen. Remember, it is your responsibility. You are the keeper of the flame. Amen. If we don't do it, who is going to do it for this generation? Amen. The church must. Amen. The Christian schools must. The Bible colleges must. Christian families must. We must fuel the fire, or it will go out. Amen. And then you're in crisis and people are dying. Amen. Your friends around you are running to you asking you questions. They're asking you to pray for them. And you run into your personal sanctuary. And you go to your fire. And your fire's the only thing that is going to put a difference between the living and the dead. Amen. Learn this Old Testament truth. When the priest went in there to the sanctuary and took the fire from off the altar, and he ran back into the midst of the congregation, he stood between the living and the dead, and the holy fire of God stopped the plague. Nobody else died from that plague. Why? Because somebody had a fire that was burning on the altar, and they were able to get between sin and the dying. Help me preach, Lord. Amen. I'm telling you again. I'm telling you what the plague is. The plague is sin. And sin is destroying this nation. That is our problem. It's not that we need better health care. It's not that we need another lot of social engineering. I tell you what America needs. We need the holy fire of God to burn on our altar. And that is the only thing that will stand between the living and the dead. Amen. Some of you here have heard me give this illustration a number of times, but it just fits so perfectly with this passage that it's hard for me to preach this passage without giving it to you. This is probably going to be in 15th century England, the time of the Renaissance, and you know, you see architecture that at different times people say that's Renaissance. You know, we see pictures sometimes, that's Renaissance. That's an era of time. And that comes from the name of the great architect, Sir Christopher Wren, I believe is the way you pronounce it. Amen. Because he totally had to redesign and re-engineer the city of London. Amen. Why? Because London burned. Amen. But what historians sometimes don't put in there, the time before the Great Fire of London, there was a plague called bubonic plague. Some people call it the Black Death, that was killing people in London by the thousands. It was taking away whole families. There were so many people dying at the peak of that plague that the morgues could not handle the dead. And I don't mean to be so gross here, but I hope I can get your attention here this morning. It was so bad that that family members that died, they just took their dead to the curb, just like you would take your refuse or your trash to the curb. I mean, people could not handle it. They were dying by the hundreds of thousands. The city couldn't handle it. It was a plague that nobody could stop. The educators couldn't stop it. Doctors couldn't stop it. Teachers couldn't stop it. Preachers couldn't stop it. No, nothing they tried would stop this plague. It was killing people by the hundreds of thousands. Hey man, are y'all still here? Hey man, I'll tell you another little story. I was reading about this one time and I got a little book and maybe some of you read it. It's called the name of the book is called The Fire and the Plague. And I read, I think it was in the opening cover. Cecil, that book, there were some words in there that was a very familiar. We all, us older ones, learned it even before we went to school. And it goes something like this. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. You know, I thought it was strange. It said, where we say ashes, ashes, it was the word tissue. And I read and learned from that tissue was sneezing. That was another symptom of the plague. Amen. Are y'all hearing me preach? Mama would touch a child. Maybe three or four children in that family. Mama would touch that child. And she would feel it had fever. And they said, no, oh no. 3 days. 3 days. Also another plague of that. Or another symptom of that plague was people would get large open sores on their skin. Actually, this plague was so bad that your body actually died on the outside. While you was living, your body was already beginning to die. And there was a stench that went along with that. But children, like children, will always be. They'll find a way. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? Church, I really need you. I hope y'all are not just listening for my stories, are you? I want you to rally here. And God wants to speak to somebody's heart here this morning. Amen. The stench, because of that, they would pick little flowers and things and put in their posies and put in their pocket. And then they would sing the little song. Amen. While their classmates that was at school yesterday, amen, are on a curb somewhere today. Amen. They were gone, already gone. It would take them so quickly. And they would sing, ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Amen. Tissue, as though they were sneezing. Amen. And then we all fall down, literally fall down dead. That's what that meant. Amen. You hear me? It was a plague that nobody could stop. Praise God. But one day, they didn't know what was causing it. One day on the east side of London, a fire started down in the dock area, and nobody could stop that fire. And it burned out the slums and burned out the dock area. Practically burned down the whole city of London. And that's the reason Sir Christopher had to come in and totally rebuild the city. And that's the reason today we refer to that era as the Renaissance. Are y'all still here? But when the city was rebuilt and they got back and everybody had their houses built again, you know what they discovered? The plague was gone. Oh, I wish somebody lift your hands and say hallelujah. Amen. You know why? It took away the rodents. It took away the rats and the mice and the mosquitoes. Oh, hallelujah. God needs to help somebody in here this morning. Amen. We got to take out the ashes of the past. Amen. My God is a consuming fire. I want to tell you, young person, my God will start a fire on the altar of your life. Amen. And if you'll read your Bible and serve God, amen, and go to His house, it will be an everlasting burning fire. Amen. That will continue to burn in your life. That will mark you and make a difference between you and a dying world. Amen. One more passage. Somebody needs to get me a song. I'm about through. Matthew chapter 25. For Bible readers, you know this. Maybe others, this will be a familiar story. St. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Let me tell you something. America has been in that place for a long time. We've had wars, but they've been someplace else. We've had famines in our world, but they've been somewhere else. There's been great great calamity of human depravity of the worst kind. You know, even like right now, if you read the news, if you hear the reports on television and radio, in Syria, there's great humanitarian crisis. We do not understand that in this country. Do you hear me preach? Oh, everybody ought to raise their hands and say, thank God for America. Thank God we've been blessed. Thank God we've been prosperous. There's been famines, but they've been somewhere else. There's been wars, but they've been somewhere else. There's been calamity. All kinds of human tragedies, but they've been somewhere else. Amen. Hear me preach now. But for years, again, from the time when the man came from France and said their pulpits are on fire with the fire of God, America's great because America's good. There have been many years America has went to sleep. We forgot about our God. We've forsaken our morals. Amen. We've went against God. We've shook our fist in His face. We've told Him we'll do it our own way. Amen. We've learned how to breed plants that are irresistant. Amen. They're resistant to pestilence. We've learned how to irrigate. We've learned how to do a lot of things. Amen. And in our own ability and our own might, we feel like we don't need God. Amen. I need America to wake up. Amen. I'd like to preach to somebody here this morning. America is great because America is good. But also America, I believe, has the responsibility to be the keeper of the flame. We must keep our churches on fire. We must keep our schools on fire. We must do everything that we can.
Amen.
Seems like I need a little to make sure we're like those 10 virgins. We've had it so good for so long that our people don't understand what depravity is. We've had it so good for so long that America doesn't know what real poverty is. The poverty line considered in America is around $12,000. Most people in the world, a $12,000 income with American dollars, they would think they were super wealthy. Are y'all hearing me preach? We've all slumbered and slept. But let this preacher tell you something. We're getting close to the end of time. Do I have a church here at Bethany this morning? Seemed like I hadn't got y'all woke up here yet this morning. Do I need to come back here and preach a while? Hey, come on, help me, church. Hey, after a while, we're getting real close to that midnight hour. Amen. And after a while, should I take just a moment and tell you how these Jewish weddings worked? Amen. The bridegroom would go with his attendants. The bride and her maids would go with her attendants. And they didn't know for sure what time that the groom would show up. Amen. And whenever he showed up, no matter what time of the night, whether it was 9, 10, 11, 12, 1 in the morning, whatever time it was, they had to be ready to go to the wedding. Amen. That was part of their Jewish culture, was for those brides and bride, or for the bride and the bridesmaid to sit and wait for the bridegroom. They didn't know what time he was going to come. Amen. In this particular chapter I just read in Matthew 25, it happened to be midnight when the cry was made, "Behold, here he comes." Amen. In our churches and our weddings, we play, "Here comes the bride." Amen. In their culture, it was the other way around. "Here comes the groom." Amen. And they were to keep their lamps and their lights burning and fueled and ready to meet the bridegroom. But when the cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him," they were startled out of a dead sleep. Amen. They were awakened from their amen, from their mundane amen, and their sleepiness and their drowsiness to realize their lamps, their lamps had gone out. Oh man, if I could get somebody to be perfectly honest with me this morning, if the call came right now, it's over. It's done. It's through. And you rose up to trim your lamps, would you say, oh no. Oh no. My lamp, man. 5 of them, there was 10 of them. 5 of them did not fuel their fire, and their fire went out. Again, when I was preaching to you about crisis a while ago in the Old Testament, when Moses said, the plague has begun, and they ran to the source. I wonder how it would be this morning if somebody ran to your altar. Number one, has there ever been a fire on your altar? If there never has been, I got good news for you. Amen. You can find Jesus Christ today as your Savior. Oh, and you too can become a keeper of the flame. Amen. Oh, man, if I could preach how wonderful it is to be saved and to know you've got a lamp, amen, and to know you've got a fire in your lamp, and to know you've got fuel and reserve in your lamp, and you can keep that flame, amen, amen, that keeper of the flame, amen. Praise God. As the story was told me, a king had 3 sons, sat on his throne. This had been in ancient times. A lot of times a king would be a king only of one city, and that would be all to his monarchy. But as it would be, he was getting older, and he called his 3 sons in to tell them what he was going to give them, what they would receive of his wealth. Come on, stay with me just a little bit longer, church. Come on, stay right here. And so he calls them in, and maybe the eldest son, he gives great amounts of gold, maybe in the millions, possibly in our evaluation, billions of dollars of gold. Another one, maybe precious jewels and other precious stones of different things. He gives it to him, and he's glad to receive his inheritance. One's got gold, one's got precious stones, maybe silver, other things of great value. To the third son, he gives him a candle and hands it to him and says, this is what you get. And then he gives him a charge. You are to be a keeper of this flame. Are y'all hearing me preach? The time was set that they would all come back. Maybe a year, maybe 6 months. I don't remember the time. But they're all called back. The others too scorned the one. You must be on the king's bad side. Look what we got. And all you got was a flame. All you got was a little candle. We got gold. We got all these precious jewels. Look what you got. I wished I had one to demonstrate with this morning. Hey, man, would you sit on the screen? All you got was a flame. Hey, man. Oh, man. I'm feeling better about this all the time. If somebody would just, this is what happens when you repent. When you give your life to Christ and you surrender yourself to Him, He strikes a little match. Hey, man. He gives you a little part of His fire inside of you. Hey, man, sometimes we sing a song, the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Hey, man. One day, hey, man, I don't know, maybe y'all can look that up and sing it. One day He started a little fire inside. Hey, man. A lot of things have happened. This young man had to tend that flame. Brother Luke, he had to protect it. There was days there was wind. There were days there were storms. There were days it rained. Days of snow. All kinds of things that he protected that flame. The day came, they appeared back before the king, and maybe some had gained more gold, maybe the others had gained more precious things, amen, but this one had the nerve to show back up with nothing more than his little candle. Maybe for a year better, Brother Arnold, he kept it burning, amen, and because of his sincerity and his diligence in being a keeper of the flame, the king looked at him and said, son, the throne will be yours, everything. Even these other brothers of yours will be subjects in your kingdom. Amen. You proved to be true. You proved to be a keeper of the flame. You held on to my word of what I ask you to do. Oh, church, you got to hear me preach this morning. Amen. America's in trouble. In a lot of ways, America is on the decline because they've forsaken God. But I've got also got good news. All it takes is for a few to get a fire of God and a genuine, eternal, amen, divine flame in your heart, and it'll burn till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Amen. The tragedy is if we let the fire go out. Amen. I'm ready. I'm ready for y'all. I'm closing with this illustration right here. Some of you, I've given this a number of times, but some of you probably have never heard it. And the great preacher, his name was Barnhouse. He pastored a church in Pennsylvania. I think one of the big cities of Pennsylvania. There's a lot of his work out. You can read. He has a lot of illustrations. But if I understood this right, this family was actually from his church. They left that big city and was out driving the countrysides on vacation. This would have been probably in the early 1900s. Driving through the mountains of that mountainous region, there was a car train accident. You know how most of those end. If there's a car and a train accident, it's usually never good. And that's what happened. Husband and wife and I think two children, four people, lives were snatched out. Crossing that railroad crossing in that mountainous region of Pennsylvania. Way, way, way in the night, this happened. There was no electronic signals in those days, especially in the remote areas. But there was. Their protection and what was placed at all those mountainous crossings was what they call the old-fashioned signal man. He was posted there. His time, his shift, when that run out, someone else took over. And all he had was a lantern and a source of fuel to keep it burning. Are y'all hearing me preach? A remote area, not very much traffic, very few cars in the middle of the night. Are you hearing me preach? This family's driving down the road in the mountainous area. And they're coming to the railroad tracks and the train is already crossing. It's already on the tracks. It wasn't like a collision. The car careened into the train that was going across the tracks. All four were four fatality. There's only one witness, and that is the signal man that's posted there to do his duty. Other members of the this family said, "We know there's something wrong. Our family would have never done that. That man was vigilant. He would never let that happen to his family. He would have never. He would have been more careful than that. Something's wrong." And there's only one witness. Everybody else is dead. The only witness is the signal man that's standing beside the road, and his job is when he sees a car coming, is to pick up his lantern and begin to wave his lantern back and forth in front of the oncoming traffic to stop them because the train's crossing the tracks. Are y'all hearing me preach? So the family hires them a lawyer and they take the railroad company to court. They're going to sue them because they think someone didn't do due diligence. And they're only one witness. The star witness for the railroad company is the signal man. He's the only one. His lawyer takes him aside before and he says, "Let me tell you what to do when you're in court." He said, "Do not lie. Do not perjure yourself." But he said, "Do not answer any questions you're not asked." He said, "You only answer the questions you're asked, and you make them ask the questions, and you only answer it with a yes, sir, or a no, sir. You offer no more than that. Yes, sir, or no, sir." Are y'all still with me? The day comes, they're in court. The only witness for the railroad company that's at fault is this witness. The prosecuting attorney is asking him questions. They're cross-examining him. And they're asking him questions. And they said, "Sir, was you on your post of duty the night this family was killed?" He said, "Yes, sir, I was." He said, "Did you see the car with the family coming down the road while the train was on the tracks crossing the road?" He said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "Sir, Did you pick up your lantern and wave your lantern to alert the car to let him know that there's a train on the tracks? And he said, yes, sir, I did. Case is closed. The case is over. The next day, the man's back on his job. They're pressing him with questions. They're high-fiving him. They're asking him, how did you do it? He wasn't showing any nervousness. He was answering the questions. He was doing great under pressure. He said, oh, you don't understand. I was nervous. You don't understand. Why was you nervous? You done good. You was doing so good. He said, you don't understand. What do you mean we don't understand? He said, I was afraid they would ask one more question. And this is the question right here. He said, I saw that car coming. And I picked up my lantern and I waved my lantern. But he said, the problem was I forgot to fuel my lantern. And when I picked it up and waved it one time, it flickered and went out. And he said, I was afraid their lawyer would ask one more question. Was your lantern lit? And the answer to that question is, my lantern was empty. And oh, God help us here today. Church, are y'all praying here? I'm ready to give this altar call here this morning. Amen. And I'm asking saint and sinner alike, everybody that's under the sound of my voice this morning. Amen. It's not only important. Yes, you must have a lantern. It's not so important that you one time had a fire. Amen. I need the congregation to stand right now all over this house. It's not so important that you had a fire at one time in your life. It's not even so important that you had a lantern. It's not even so important that you have something to carry fuel in. But I have a question for you this morning. Are you a keeper of the flame? Are you bearing your responsibility? Are you bearing up under what God has challenged you to do? Amen. America is great because America is good. And America is great and America is good because there was a fire in the churches. And I'm asking you today, I wonder how many churches across this land. Amen. We just come out of revival, and I can look around in my congregation right here this morning that I dare say there's probably 75 people, probably 50 or 75 people that probably could be here in this service today. Amen. I know there's illness. I know there's sickness. I understand those things like that. But you know what happens so quickly? So quickly, the fire goes out. Amen. Fire has a tendency to go out. The challenge is for us. We are to be the ones that are alive right now, the ones that are hearing me preach right now. We are to be a keeper of the flame. In Jesus' name, would everyone bow your head right now? Oh, God, I'm asking you, Lord. While they begin to sing, go ahead and sing. While every head is bowed in this place, if you're here today and you're not saved, and you don't know the Lord, or maybe you've been saved, maybe you've been baptized, maybe somebody told you you were saved. But if you'd be honest with me right now, honest with yourself, there's no fire on your altar. There's no passion about the way you serve God. There's no passion about the way you witness for Jesus Christ. I'm asking you right now, if you'd like to have your fire rekindled, these altars are open. Most of the time, the sisters kneel over here on this side. Most of the time, brother kneel over here at this side, but that's not necessarily the way it has to be. If someone would just like to step forward for prayer. We have elders that would like to gather around and pray with you. This is your opportunity. We are required. We're challenged to be the keeper.
But when I feel that fire inside, then I know my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but
all right, the altar call is general now. I need somebody to step forward. Let's gather around these altars. Let's have a season of prayer here this morning. Let's come back tonight believing God for a great service.
It's never gone.
Praise God. Everyone that will, come on down. Let's seek the Lord here this morning.
Satan has tried so many times to
pour your heart out to him. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, if he's not your personal Savior,
then I know
if there's
my
not a flame that's burning in your life here this morning, he's able to do that.
Flame has flickered.
He can start a fire in your life that will never, never go out.
Never gone out.
Praise God for that that flame that has never gone out.
Since Jesus kindled the flame,
praise God, hallelujah.
Things have changed, I'm not
Lord, I'm trusting you as my Savior.
He lit this fire,
oh God, I'm praying
with his great eternal love
to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can.